Rosh Hashanah, the Mitzvah Hayoyim is Tkiya Shofar. Omer B'Yeshia, Lashon Psikta, Ksiv Ashram Yod Yisruah, V'Che'enu Mazolim Yod L'Riya, Kama Kronos Yishlehem, Kama Bukinos Hashem, Kama Salfrigas Yishlehem, V'Amart Ashram Yod Yisruah. So, B'Yeshia asks, what does it mean Ashram Yod Yisruah? Do Mazolim as well have all sorts of musical instruments, and they know how to play it, and so on. Ella shein makirin lefatos es boyim b'tshuva. They understand how to, and the word lefatos, as a word, would be translated to deceive or seduce their creator with a tshuva. V'oymed mikisa adin lekisa rachmim. He gets up from the kisa din to kisa rachmim, musmale rachmim, vayifchla midas adin mis rachmim, emas abchadish hashvi. So Rav Yoshia says that the act of tkiya shofar is central to Rosh Hashanah, because Rosh Hashanah was yom adin, and the act of tkiya shofar serves to be mefata boiran, to seduce or deceive HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and thereby move him from a kisa rachmim, from a kisa din to kisa rachmim. The idea of being able to seduce or deceive HaKadosh Baruch Hu is something that just it's impossibility itself. It also runs counter to our portrayal of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Rosh Hashanah as Ke'atel Kim Emes Edvarech Emes Zekayim Lad, something that seems to be totally the opposite of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Midas HaEmes that pervades the day. We spoke about it once, and we explained a certain Mahalach in Peter and Ritzui. I'd like to address it in a different way, in some ways perhaps more fundamental even. The Nafika Mayim, Rav Moshe Shapiro, compares this concept of Pitui to a certain concept of Shochat, and he explains it kedarkoi in light of that. Would like to try to understand it in a similar way, but with a very different understanding of what sheichet is and how it works on the Yom HaDin. The concept of having sheichet in Yom HaDin is almost, or perhaps as oxymoronic to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Mida of Emes and Kol Yochel as could be. And yet we have a Chazal, it's a Medrash Sheikha Toiv in Til Mut Zayin. It says, Dov HaMelech said, Mulfanecha Mishpati Yetze. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Dov HaMelech said, I request that my judgment go out before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Omer Reb Levi, Omer HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Al Chinam Asisi Sanhedrin, Leich v'don lefneim. So Reb Levi said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu replied to David, Milfanecha mishpat yetze, you want me to do the din for you? I have a Sanhedrin in the world. What's that about? Amalei David, Ribbono Shelam, Kasafta b'teira v'sheichad letikach. It says, in the Torah it says, you can't take shochad. V'misiyaren likach shochad lanosi. And that's why they are rightfully scared to take shochad. Aval ata shata notel shochad mershon b'om haze, you take shochad mershon this world, which is tshuva, my stone and tefillah, milfanecha shateitze. I like you, you're a better judge because you can be bought off. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Yisrael, so in light of this, HaKadosh Baruch tells Klal Yisrael, banai, my children, ad sheshari tefillah psuchim asu tefillah tshuva. So long as shari tefillah are open, do tefillah tshuva. Shani notel shochad b'olam hazeh, I take shochad in this world. Av mishani yoshev b'din olam haba, once I get to olam haba, I don't take shochad. Lefika cham, and that's why David Melech said to the Einar Chaim, he requested HaKadosh Baruch Hu teach him, show him the paths of life. Ela says yom ben Rosh Hashanah yom HaKippur. So here we have a chazal, a medrash, that implies that says HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes shochad. Besides the outrageousness of it, the impossibility to understand what that could mean, it's also a Mefurish Mishnah that says not like that. Hu Hayoimer, it's a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. Hayeludim Lomos Vameisim Lahachis Vachaim Lidon, and so on. Hu Hayotze, Hu Habore, Hu Hadayan, Hu Haed, Hu Baldin, for Osid Lodin Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to be done. She'en Lefanav Lo Avlov Lo Yishikhov Lo Masipanav Lo Mikach Shochad. There is no injustice, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, no forgetfulness, and no bribing. Shakol Shalo, he owns everything. So the Mishnah makes very clear that the concept of Shochad is impossible to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because what are you going to give to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So the Mishnah itself, there are two layers to the Mishnah. Both of them important for us to understand. On the one hand, we have the Mishnah telling us HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not take Shochad, and that stands in stark contradiction to Rebbe Levi's memra that HaKadosh Baruch Hu can be in this world take Shochad. Secondly, in that Mishnah itself, the implication is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu would take Shochad, but what do you give to the one that owns everything? In other words, it says there's no mikach shochat shakol shalo. It almost sounds as if in principle he could be bought off, but you can't find the gift big enough to gift him because he owns everything. What does that mean? So on the one hand, on the practical side, it says there is no such shochat, which stands in sharp contrast to Rebbe Levi before. On the other hand, even this mission implies as if HaKadosh Baruch Hu could possibly take something. The Rambam in Pirush HaMishnayos tells us that on this Mishnah, he says, listen, v'ein in yonos lo yikach shochad lahatos adin, to say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu could actually take shochad, you could slip a few dozen $100 bills into the kaisel and given shochad, that's absurd. That's something that the Mishnah doesn't have to tell you. You can't give a kashbar shochad. It's obvious. What are you going to give him? How are you going to give him? He says what it means is on Yonamashibarnu shaluyikach shochad hatovos. He's not blinded by the good things you do. Just like if a person does 1,000 good things and 1 bad things, a kashbar does not forgive that bad thing despite all the good things, and vice versa. And that's why he says Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't forgiven, wasn't overlooked, his getting angry, and Esav on Kibra Veim and Buchadnetzach, on the fact that he's Mechabresh Kvot Shemayim with his Tishpachos, both of them are not forgotten, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu keeps all the ledgers perfect. In other words, we never allow the good to obfuscate the bad or in any way and to cover up on it. So the Rambam explains it means on ruchnistic level, and that's quite obvious. The Rambam says there's not even any place to think about it. We could possibly learn that the Mishnah is talking about Olam Haba, but that the reasoning of there's no mikasho shak also applies in this world as well. So what does Reb Levi mean in his memra that there is shochad in this world? So to understand that, let's understand a little bit a deeper element in what is the concept of shochad in the Bria. Let's take a look at a Gemara of Avodah Zarah. It says, that's a Gemara in the Gemara says, Amar Rava, my time, it's a Gemara in Ksubis, Daf Kuf Hei, in Shnei Dayani. Amar Rava, my time at the Sheikhada, what is the reason why Shochad is Aser? Now, what does Rava mean, why time is Shochad? Why is it bad when a judge takes money to take away from somebody else something unjustly? That's Gzela. So Rashi says it means even if you're getting shochet to passen correctly. In other words, you've heard the case, you've made up your mind, you've seen the evidence, heard the two sides, and it's clear to you that Reuven is right, it's his money. And then Reuven shows up at your doorsteps with $1,000 and says, I'd like you to pass like me. So it's a win-win situation. You're passing like Reuven, whose money it is, and that you reached a very clear-headed way, and you also are getting money. So win-win. So the Gemara says, Kivun de kabale sheikh domine ikrevo ladai tel gabe. Once a person accepts sheikhat, he becomes very close to the other person. Vehave kigufe, and it's like the same person. Ve'ein adam ro chovolatzmo, and nobody can see faults with himself. And that lies in the word shochat. My shochat shehuchad. It is, he becomes one with the person gave him the shochat. So similarly, if a person gave him shochat, somebody gives me something before, does me a favor, doesn't ask for anything, and now I have to pass him the din Torah, I have a problem. It says Mabar of Ashi, things like more in Shabbos, says he wouldn't pass on Talmud Chacham because he felt very close to them. And the same thing, he was Kahave Kegufe, and therefore he couldn't pass him. There was no deal over there. Nobody offered him X in return for Y, but taking that show, but he was Meshochat. So now let's flip around the question. Since we're talking about a case where the din is going to be emes, why is it aser? Now it's very easy to explain it in terms of a slippery slope. The person gives the money and the person will think that he thought that it's right. It certainly makes a lot of sense why we would prohibit it. But the Gemara doesn't say that. The Gemara doesn't say, well, you know, one day you'll take money a minute after you're out of your mind, and one day you're going to take the money before. The Gemara says something that because he's mekarav daita gabei v'ave kegufei, the Rashi there says something about his heart becoming one with his heart, evedem rechov alatzmo, and so on. So what is the problem? So let's understand the mahalach of mishpat and the bria, the different mahalachim of relationship. There are two mahalachim of relationship, two different entities in the bria. Whenever a person is dealing with an entity outside of him, with an entity that is not him, Midas Hadin is the relationship. For instance, I have a choice of two pairs of shoes. Which one will I buy? Well, which wears better, which is cheaper, which is more comfortable, which is nicer, and so on and so forth. I have an old pair of shoes. Should I keep them or not? What do I stand to gain by keeping it? What do I stand to gain by losing it? I have two sick people to heal. Let's leave Torah out of this. Just so, who is worth more to me? Who's worth more to society? Society has a decision to make, who to allocate medication to, who to send out to battle, who not to send out to battle, and so on. All of that is Midas Hadin. We make a cheshbon of what is better than what's worth more than what, and so on. That is, in essence, Midas Hadin, and it applies us to everything around us. There is one exception, and that is me, myself. Every person's own perspective on his self is, I take my existence for granted that it must be like that. It's the desire to survive the understanding that my survival is paramount to anything else is the innermost rotzen that HaKadosh Baruch Hu put in us. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Havaya, His existence itself. When He gave us, when He gave us a breath kaviyochel of His, and then part of that is a sense of existence, not needed to be justified by anything else. No person says to himself, you know, I'm applying a job for this job, and someone else is applying for the job. The other guy is a lot more productive and can do a better job than me. Then economically, it makes sense to hire the other person, and therefore, I will not take the job. Nobody thinks like that. We just try to figure out how to get around the problem, but nobody looks at it objectively, who's worth more. Nobody feels his life is worthless and he's more of a burden, and so on. That is the perspective on oneself is a perspective of kiyum, of havaya, and the perspective of other things whose existence depends on me is midas hadin. That's a basic split, and a split that is as fundamental as can be between a person's istaklus on himself or istaklus on the other. A person's self includes many elements. It includes one's limbs. I know, unfortunately, a few people who suffer tremendous yisurim in a limb of theirs, ferocious neurological pain, and they're given the option of amputating it, and they're struggling for years with it, and once amputated, it's not going to hurt them. But and anybody standing outside will say, well, listen, this way you're not at all productive. What's the problem with missing a limb? You're not so productive. Well, this way you're totally very, very little unproductive, very dependent, and if you choose to lose the limb, you're going to become much more productive, much more independent, much happier, no-brainer. I know a few people who've chosen not to. And the only time they choose to amputate Chas V'Shalom is if it threatens the rest of the body. But in itself, they will not choose so. So a person's sense, because his limb is him, he never will apply the perspective of, is it worth keeping? Is it not worth keeping? I exist because I exist and because I need to exist, and my limbs are part of me. Chazal say it about, it's a halachic evaluation that the person has the same attitude about his money. If you're watching somebody's stuff and it's rotting away, Chazal say an extraordinary amount has to rot away before you're allowed to sell it off and keep the money. So the Gemara asks, why? It doesn't make any sense. I mean, why would we want the person to keep incurring losses when you can freeze the value in money? The Gemara says, Adam roitze bekav shaloi yesim tisha shachaveri. People they like things that are theirs, and therefore, even if you're left with much less, but your own wheat that you earned by the sweat of your brow and with the toil and with the toil of your hands and feet is precious to a person. And the reason, as we say, is because it becomes part of itself. So, the Chazal over here, when they speak about Sheichat, what they're telling me is as follows. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us a mahalach of mishpat. We have the ability to exercise midas hadin in the bria, and we do it through through Sanhedrin, through Besdin, and so on. When I'm passing din, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants me to be using midas hadin in the psak. That's the point of it, and that's the avod of it. If I get the same results by using another midah, the midah of that whether he deserves it or not, it's his, that is a perversion of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted. It's not only the question, does he get the money or not? The question is, does he get the money bidin, or does he get it in another way? And that's what Chazal tell us. When you give shoychat, forget about when you're hiring the person to pass wrong. Even when you're hiring the passing right, but what happens is there's a cure of hadas, and it becomes one. And I'm no longer in a position to look at it with the spectacles of mishpat. And my sheichet shuchat, the problem with sheichet is that he becomes one with the person who gave him the shochat. So the dayan is going to be judging this case not with din, but with the mid of chadhu. And yes, even if the money is rightfully going to the right owner of it, but it's going to him not through din, but through some other midah. And that is not what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. That is the pshat in what sheikh it is and why it's so bad. Let's go back to our Rosh Hashanah. Sheikhat, so there is a midah of sheikhat to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It does exist in the sense of chadhu. Now, how does that midah express itself? We mentioned two elements that a person feels is identified himself. His limbs, even though a person could be with the foot or without the foot, chas shalom, but it's him, it's a limb of him, it's his, and his money. There is one more area that a person identifies, and that is his children. Chazal tell us that a person is jealous of everyone, no matter how well-deserved the other person's honor is, and no matter how gracious he is about it. There's kinna, but it says, b'kol adam miskani, a person is jealous, potentially jealous of anyone, chutz mibno v'talmido, except for his son and his talmid, which is a spiritual son. And the reason is because I see my son as me. When someone says your son is a gevaldika person, I take it very personally. It means me, because my son is me. And therefore, a child, there's also this element of chadhu. I mean, David and Avshalom tried to kill his father and in the most terrible way and humiliated him and embarrassed him and everything. And David was inconsolable over Avshalom. A son is also a chadhu. Yerusha, it's not a transfer property, but the son is an extension of father and so on. There's a fascinating halachic insight into shochad. There's a machlokus in Achronim, the Kitzos brings me a belev, there's a shach and so on, that say that they ask, is shochad prohibited simply because he might pervert the justice, or because he becomes like a principal, he becomes a baldover, and then he's puzzled. So it's true by shochad, and it's true by his son. A child is now, so when I look at a child, I will never judge him. I will try to improve him, but I never look at him with midas hadin, is he worth having as a child, is not worth having as a child. Famous parasha by Hosea, where he told HaKadosh Baruch Hu to throw away Kal Yisrael, Banecha Chatu, Banei V'lei Banecha, and he had three children from a loose woman, and the HaKadosh Baruch Hu don't throw them away, and he said, I can't. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, aha, you know, these children, we're not even sure they're yours, you can't throw away. How do you explain throw away Kal Yisrael? In as much as Kal Yisrael becomes Bonim to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they go under the category of Chadhu. And that's the Omek. We move HaKadosh Baruch Hu from Midas Hadin to Midas to Kisei Rachmim, because we're now moving him into the different relationship. As long as we are the other, then the appropriate relationship is Din. Is it worth having this other one around or not? What's the price I'm paying for this other? But the minute it becomes kaviyachol bonim atem l'Hashem alekeichem, then midas harachmim is the midah that we relate to it. There's no makom for din. So it's true that there's no mikach shochat. We can't give a Kadosh Baruch Hu anything to generate shochat. But we can be meshachet him, we can become chad with HaKadosh Baruch Hu when we bring out this sense of bani. So what is it? Shofar is only shofar is, so to speak, the tool. What is it about the bani? That what is it about the that makes one a child? So Agashas Zalev is, if you look around, it is the nature of a child that his most fundamental need is to his most fundamental need is to please his father. A young child for sure is looking only for approval from his parents. And even a grown-up person, I've dealt sometimes with people who had the most extraordinarily difficult relationship with parents, extraordinarily tense and broken relationships. And down deep, the one need that comes crying out is, why can't my father for once say, I have nachas from you, I'm proud of you? Because in the relationship of child to parent, that is the need of the child, is the father's approval, nachas ruach. When a child looks to find favor in his parents' eyes, where he subordinates his ratzon, he will not do what he would like to do, but do something that will make his parents proud of him. That's when he presents himself as a ben. And that's where we're ma'orer, that's where we arouse the mid of bani matan shekharim from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's a chazal, and I think people put the wrong dogish on it. So yenasi kechag bechag ve'asela, it's a medrash she'ashirim on the pasuk yenasi kechag ve'asela, shbinis kolech, arinis ma'ayach. So one of the different mishalim, one mashal is mashal to a melech that had a daughter, and he wanted to shmooze with her. It says he wanted to be mesocheach with her. He wanted to have a sicha with her. And obviously, she wasn't so interested. There obviously wasn't a great relationship. He couldn't just say, how about meeting me for coffee at the Starbucks? It wasn't working. Something wasn't there. What did he do? So Chazal say he arranged for someone to attack his daughter. And then she yelled out, Abba Hatzileini. And he said, had this not happened, you never said Abba Hatzileini. The same thing, Klai Yisrael being pursued in the Yamsuf, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to hear their voice, and he said, if I wouldn't have done this, you would not have said Abba Hatzileini. So people read it, and they seem to put the emphasis on the Hatzileini. You call out to me in Tefillah, and you say, save me, and that's what HaKadosh wants to hear. I don't think that's the pshat. I think what they were waiting for, what HaKadosh Baruch Hu was waiting for the word Abba. At some point, the child was breges with the father, and they weren't on talking terms, and they didn't, and the daughter never called him father. But when everything fell away, and a moment of truth came, the daughter said, "Abba Hatzileini." She reawakened in herself the sense of Abba. Tkiya Shofar, Chazal tell us, is a form of Sheichat. And that's how it works. It is the Sheichat of where a person becomes Kaviyachol instead of a distinct entity from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, where he needs to earn his stay in this world through Din, which we realize at some point is impossible. The person awakens the relationship of Ben to Abba. That relationship means that from HaKadosh Baruch Hu's perspective, he doesn't treat us with the question of, do they deserve to exist? Have they earned a keep? But my son has the same kiyum, has the same existence as I have, and his existence is a given, or will be a given. We, on our part, need to awaken ourselves that feeling that what matters in our life is how much nachas ruach have we done to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How much? It's not only a question of specific maisim that we do and so on and so forth. That's din, and that will come in Yom Kippur Mitzvah Hashem. Right now, it's changing our perspective and saying, is there anything worthwhile other than doing something that we feel like HaKadosh Baruch Hu has nachas ruach? The vehicle for it is the shofar. The coil of the shofar is Abba Hatzileini. It's the coil where we reach out. It's the tzaaka that we reach out to the Abba. And if we awaken that mida in us and voice it through the vehicle of the shofar, where it becomes the tzaaka of a child rediscovering his father, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will rediscover us as children. And instead of looking at us with the very, very sharp and critical eyes of din, he will look at us with the eyes of Rachmim Kaviyachol, that take our existence for granted, our prospering existence for granted, because a child has the sameness to the father, and he's part of that chadhu with HaKadosh Baruch Hu.